All right, so let's dive into this case, Powell v. Alabama. Yeah, you probably know it as the Scottsboro Boys case. And we've got a pretty interesting mix of sources here, legal documents, historical analyses, and even some personal accounts to kind of bring it all to life. It's really a story about nine black teenagers in 1931 Alabama, a freight train ride, and you know, a fight that ends up becoming this this terrifying example of racial injustice.
Yeah, it's wild how fast things escalate, you know? I mean, we're not even just talking about an arrest here. These young men, they were indicted on trial, like, within days of that fight happening. It's,
yeah.
I mean, try to imagine that pressure, that fear, especially in the Jim Crow South.
And the sources we're looking at really, they really highlight how unprepared they were for any of this. I mean, most of them couldn't even read.
Wow.
And the lawyers who were appointed to represent them, they had, like, almost no time to prepare.
It's hard to even fathom that.
Yeah, how can you possibly mount a defense in a capital case with just a few hours' notice? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's where I think the real core issue of this whole case comes through. This you know, the right to counsel. What does due process actually mean if you're denied a fair shot at defending yourself?
It's a question that keeps coming up again and again in legal history, for sure.
Yeah.
And to make things even worse, the trials themselves, I mean, they were so flawed.
Oh, yeah.
It's clear from the records that the all-white juries, the hostile environment, it was a system that was completely rigged against these young men. It wasn't justice. You know, it was a spectacle.
It really was. It's, you know, even in that kind of climate, there's a little glimmer of hope. When the Alabama Supreme Court upheld the convictions, there was one judge who dissented.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Justice Thomas, his opinion is, it's really fascinating because he zeroes in on this lack of adequate legal counsel. You know, it's almost like he's foreshadowing what's going to send this case all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And that's exactly what happened. When Powell v. Alabama reached the Supreme Court, it became way bigger than just the fate of these nine individuals. It really became a turning point in how we understand the Bill of Rights, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure.
So the big question is, did the Supreme Court see through all the injustice that happened in Alabama? Did they overturn the convictions?
Well, they did. Yeah, it was a 7-2 decision. The court found that that the Scottsboro Boys were denied their right to counsel as guaranteed by the 14th Amendment.
Okay, so big win for the defense. What was it specifically that swayed the majority, though? I mean, how did they connect the 14th Amendment to this case?
Well, Justice Sutherland, he was the one who wrote the majority opinion. He really focused on the defendant's vulnerability, you know, their illiteracy. They were so young, and that hostile environment they were stuck in.
Right.
He basically argued that under those circumstances, having a lawyer wasn't just a formality.
Yeah.
It was completely essential to have a fair trial.
It's a powerful argument, you know, because it acknowledges that simply saying everyone is equal under the law isn't enough.
Right.
You have to make sure that everyone has a real chance to navigate the system, no matter their background. Right.
Exactly. Sutherland even wrote that, you know, that having the right to be heard in court, it doesn't mean anything if you don't also have the right to have a lawyer speak for you effectively.
Right.
He understood that without, you know, good legal representation, especially with such serious charges, the whole idea of a fair trial just falls apart.
This wasn't a unanimous decision, though, was it? Weren't there some dissenting opinions?
Oh, absolutely. There were. Justice Butler, for example, he argued against what he saw as federal interference in state matters. He believed that just assigning any lawyer at all, no matter how much time they had to prepare, was enough to satisfy, you know, the due process requirement.
But wouldn't that, like, I mean, wouldn't that create a system where the right to counsel is basically just a show without any guarantee of genuine representation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of having that right in the first place?
That's exactly what the majority was getting at.
Yeah.
They understood that due process isn't about going through the motions, you know?
Right.
It's about a system where individuals, especially those facing, you know, life or death situations, they have to have access to legal representation that can actually defend their rights.
So this was a win for the Scottsboro Boys.
Yeah.
But it was just one step in what was a long and complicated journey, right?
Huh?
What happened in the aftermath of Powell v. Alabama?
Well, that takes us into another chapter of this really complicated and honestly tragic story.
Okay, so we've been talking about, like, the big picture of Powell v. Alabama, right?
Yeah.
The history, the injustice, the Supreme Court's decision, all that. But I think it would be really interesting to kind of unpack the legal specifics a little more. What were the core arguments on each side?
Mm.
And how did those arguments actually end up shaping the court's ruling?
You know, that's a really good point. I think it's easy to get swept up in the human drama of it all. But the legal reasoning behind this decision is really what makes Powell v. Alabama so important, especially for anyone who's, you know, studying law or interested in constitutional law.
For sure. Okay, so let's start with the 14th Amendment. That's a huge part of this whole case, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The 14th Amendment, it's like a cornerstone of American constitutional law. And the Due Process Clause, that's at the heart of Powell. You know, it's the part that says states can't deprive anyone of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
Right. Okay, so the Bill of Rights, which includes the Sixth Amendment's right to counsel.
Yeah.
That was originally seen as, like, only applying to the federal government.
Right.
So how did Powell change that?
That's where Powell v. Alabama really shifted our whole understanding of how these things work. The Supreme Court, in this decision, they basically started incorporating certain parts of the Bill of Rights into the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause.
Mm.
So essentially making them apply to the states.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is where we get that term selective incorporation.
Exactly, yeah. Selective incorporation, basically, it means the Supreme Court has been choosing, case by case, which parts of the Bill of Rights should also apply to the states, not just the federal government, like you said. And Powell, this case was, it was a big step because it directly connected the Sixth Amendment's right to counsel to the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause.
Okay, so they were basically saying that that having a fair trial, which is guaranteed by the 14th Amendment, means you have the right to a lawyer, especially when it's, you know, like a death penalty case.
Exactly, yeah. And this actually went against the kind of the prevailing view at the time, which thought that due process was more about, you know, following procedures than actually making sure there was a truly fair legal process.
Interesting. So what were the key arguments that each side was making?
Well, the defense, obviously, they were really emphasizing this lack of due process in the Scottsboro Boys trials. They were pointing to, you know, the fact that everything was so rushed, the inadequate legal representation, that whole racially charged atmosphere. You know, all of it combined, they argued, to deny the defendants a fair chance.
And what about the prosecution? What was their side of the story? Did they try to justify what had happened in Alabama?
Yeah, they basically argued that that appointing a lawyer, even if it was just on the day of the trial, that was enough to fulfill the legal requirements at the time.
Yeah.
They said that that met the standard of due process as they understood it.
But the Supreme Court disagreed. Right. They saw that just assigning a lawyer without giving them time to prepare a proper defense wasn't enough to guarantee a fair trial.
Right. And that's really where the concept of what we call effective legal representation becomes so crucial. You know, Powell v. Alabama didn't just say you have a right to a lawyer, period. It suggested that you actually have a right to a lawyer who can, you know, who can actually defend you competently.
So it's not just about having someone there in the courtroom with you. It's about having a lawyer who can, you know, fight for your rights, investigate what happened, and actually build a real defense.
Exactly, yeah. And this idea of effective assistance of counsel, it would be developed even further in later cases.
Right.
But Powell, this case, really laid the groundwork for that that whole principle. It's pretty amazing how one case stemming from such a, you know, horrific example of racial injustice could have such a lasting impact on the American legal system.
It really shows how, like, legal precedent works, right?
Yeah.
How one decision can set a standard that shapes how we understand rights and justice for years and years to come.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Supreme Court's decision in Powell v. Alabama really, it set a bar for what due process means, for what the right to counsel truly means. And that impact, you know, it continues to this day.
It does. Okay, so we've covered a lot here, the historical context, the legal arguments, the Supreme Court's decision. But what about the aftermath? What happened to the Scottsboro Boys after Powell v. Alabama?
That's a great question, and it kind of leads us into another chapter of this this complex and honestly heartbreaking story.
So we've spent this whole episode, you know, kind of breaking down Powell v. Alabama, the context, the legal arguments, the Supreme Court's, you know, game-changing decision. But I'm really curious about what happened after that ruling. I mean, did things actually get better for the Scottsboro Boys?
You know, you'd think that after such a clear victory at the Supreme Court, justice would be, you know, pretty swift. But unfortunately, and the reality was way more complicated and honestly, deeply unjust. It really shows you that legal precedents, while they're super important, they don't always translate into immediate change, you know, on the ground. The fight for true justice, it often continues long after the courtrooms go quiet.
Yeah, for sure. So what happened? Were the Scottsboro boys released after the Supreme Court overturned those convictions?
Well, the Supreme Court's decision did lead to retrials.
Okay.
But remember, these retrials were still happening in Alabama.
Right.
In a system that was, you know, just completely steeped in racial bias. The retrials, they were full of procedural errors, all white juries, and this overwhelming sense of hostility towards the defendants.
It's kind of hard to believe that even after the highest court in the land had said their trials were unfair, the Scottsboro boys were still facing, you know, such obvious prejudice. I mean, didn't Supreme Court's ruling on the right to counsel change anything?
Well, you would think so. But even with that right to counsel being established, the quality of the legal representation that they were getting, it remained a huge problem. I mean, the Scottsboro boys, they had all these different lawyers. Some were inexperienced. Some were, sadly, even hostile to their cause.
Wow. It's a pretty tragic example of how having a right on paper doesn't always guarantee that it's going to be applied in the real world. It really underscores the importance of not just, you know, creating laws, but of actually making sure that they're implemented fairly, effectively.
Yeah.
So did this continued injustice lead to any kind of like broader response?
Oh, it absolutely did. The Scottsboro boys case, it became a rallying point for civil rights activists all over the country. Their plight, it really galvanized the movement. It shone a light on the systemic racism that was just, you know, so deeply embedded in the criminal justice system, especially in the Jim Crow South.
So Powell v. Alabama, it wasn't just a legal case then.
Right.
It became a symbol of a much larger struggle for equality and justice in America.
Yeah, exactly. It really exposed the deep-seated prejudices and the inequalities that were plaguing the American legal system. And it fueled that growing movement for civil rights. And even though their ordeal continued, the Scottsboro boys case, together with the Supreme Court's ruling in Powell v. Alabama, it became a real turning point.
It sounds like there were still so many battles ahead for the Scottsboro boys. Did they ever actually find any measure of justice?
Their legal battles, they dragged on for years with a mix of convictions, overturned rulings, and retrials. Some of them were eventually paroled, but others actually ended up serving really long prison sentences. It was just a long and painful journey, you know, marked by legal complexities, changing public opinion, and just the lasting scars of racial prejudice.
Yeah. It's a reminder that the path towards justice isn't always straightforward or easy. And even those big, you know, monumental legal victories, they don't always erase the damage that's caused by systemic injustice.
Yeah.
But the Scottsboro boys case and the Supreme Court's decision in Powell v. Alabama, they definitely left a mark on American history.
They absolutely did. The Scottsboro boys ordeal forced America to really confront this, you know, this ugly reality of racial bias in its courts. And Powell v. Alabama really pushed that concept of due process beyond just, you know, procedures and technicalities. It became about genuine fairness, about providing real legal protection, especially for those who are most vulnerable within the system.
As we wrap up this, you know, this deep dive into Powell v. Alabama, I'm really struck by the power of this case to make us think critically about our legal system.
Yeah,
it's a story about injustice, about resilience, and about that, you know, that ongoing fight for equal justice under the law.
It definitely leaves us with some important questions to think about, you know. What does it actually mean to have effective legal representation? How do we make sure that justice is truly served, not just the letter of the law? How do we actually build a legal system that lives up to its ideals of fairness and equality for everyone? These are questions that are still so relevant today, you know, as we keep trying to examine and improve our pursuit of justice.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening. Powell v. Alabama, it continues to challenge us, to inspire us, and to remind us to be vigilant in our pursuit of a more just society for everyone.